So, friends, this morning the theme is on God of the living. God of the living. So the theme comes from the background where there is a question. You can see there are questions, actually. There are questions. Maybe you and me who have got similar questions. We ask ourselves, maybe we've been asking others. But there's a big, very big question there. If a man dies, does he live again? If a man dies, does he live again? So which gives us the theme, God of the living. So we're talking about life after death. Usually I preach on such sermons and such texts at funeral services. So this morning I was saying, I hope I'll be not be tempted to be preaching as if I'm at a funeral. So please, just bear with me. Usually such, you know, passage of scriptures, we usually use them and apply them at a funeral. But for today, we are not at a funeral. But what we want to do is, the purpose of this sermon, or maybe rather, discussion, is just to open our minds, just to have an understanding, an acknowledgement of what really happens, you know, when we die. Because this is a very big question. So to talk about death and resurrection, this subject on its own, it has been a stumbling block both in the ancient and in the modern world. It's one of those controversial, you know, topics and discussions. So if I die, then what happens? For some, they just say, it's over. If I die, it's over. What then? So you can imagine, you want to understand that it's such a very controversial, not very easy subject. It's not an easy topic. There's no expert in this topic. Let me be very honest with you that it's one of the subjects that remain a mystery to all of us. This subject does not require a theologian, does not require a prophet. It's a mystery on its own to talk about death and resurrection. It is a mystery. So we want to keep it in that context. I will only attempt to say something according to the readings and according to what the Bible says. But I don't want to say that I'll give you a conclusion. Because for me, equally, it is a mystery. Nobody can ever understand what goes beyond death. But what we want to appreciate as believers, as Christians, is that, you know, to talk about resurrection, it serves as the guarantee that Jesus' teachings are true. And it is the center of the gospel itself. Because minus the resurrection, we wouldn't be here. So the Christian faith, the Christian doctrine, has been held strong and firm for all the generations, then and now, because of the matter of the resurrection. Not just resurrection, but the resurrection of Christ. Because Jesus rose from the dead. That is why the Christian faith up to now continues to hold firmly and to teach and proclaim that the dead will be raised to eternal life. So this subject is very significant for all of us, because it is at the center of the Christian faith and the Christian teaching. This is the reason and the hope to live for. Jesus rose from the dead. He is alive, and in him we have eternal life. So this is our Christian message, that Jesus is alive. In him, through him, and with him, we have our life. So you can see that for us as Christians, we have no other gospel. We have no other story other than that Jesus is Lord. He is risen from the dead, and he is Lord. So if we read from the book of Job, chapter 14, verse 14, Job asks a question. If a man dies, shall he live again? That question has been part of the human predicament of sin since the fall of Adam and Eve in the third chapter of Genesis. It is a question that even modern day scientists still are searching for answers. They are researching, they are asking questions, but we cannot have a concrete or even a scientific answer as to what happens beyond death. Scientists will not give us an answer to this question. So it is a theological question. It has to do with our faith, what we believe in the teachings of the Bible, what we believe in the proclamation of the gospel. Is there life after death? So we can't talk about resurrection before we talk about death. And what does the Bible say about death? Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27, according to the King James Version. "And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment, it has been appointed unto men once to die." So we cannot escape the subject of death because it is an appointment. As you all understand about the other appointments that we make in life, we make appointments with the dentist, appointments with the GPs, appointments with your banker, appointments. You are all familiar with appointments. So the Bible clearly is saying it has also been appointed, that it has been appointed unto men once to die, that everyone shall die. So it is a fact. Whether we like, whether we do not like, death is a fact. It is appointed that everyone shall die. So death is one appointment you will not miss. Let's smile. We are not at a funeral. Let's just smile about it. I know it's a very scary subject. It is scary to talk about death. But today we want to approach it, you know, relaxed. Because we are not mourning, we are not at a, death is a fact. Okay. It's an appointment. Yeah, okay. So one day I shall also be appointed. I shall also fulfill this appointment. Me, I'm also talking about myself. Yeah? That's death. It is appointed that everyone shall die. So it is 100% certainty, but what you and me don't know is how. Terminal illness, I don't know. Heart attack, I don't know. A head-on collision, I don't know. For somebody as simple as studying in a library, I don't know. But the appointment is very definite. It is concrete. It is certain that unto every man, if I'm saying man, it is a biblical language, unto every man, unto every woman, unto every young man, unto young woman, boy or girl, we shall all die. But then the question is, then what will happen? Please, I don't intend to intimidate anyone. I don't have an answer to this. I said, please, I'm also out of this. But what I'm doing is, I'm also reading in the text. Just to be prepared, at least just to have a clue. You see, what is good about this is at least to have a clue what will happen. So death is a fact, but you see, death for me is simple separation, because death is separation of the body and the soul. You see, death is separation of the body and the soul. So for physical death is where the body, you know, is weak, the body fails and it collapses, then that's physical death. Then we say, oh, the remains. At a funeral, you hear people saying, talking about the remains. These are the remains of so and so. They're talking of the body. So death is the separation of body and soul. Then comes the subject of the resurrection. So by God of the living, so this is where our hope is. Because in God, there is no death. With God, there is no death. With God, it's about life. So this is where the center of the Christian gospel and teaching is, that in God, we don't talk, in our belief as Christians, we don't talk about death. We talk about life. God of the living. Paul says, for me, if I live, I live for Christ. If I die, I die for Christ. So whether to live or to die, everything is about Christ. In Christ, with Christ, and through Christ. That's our issue. Everything about us is in Christ, through Christ, and with Christ. So death comes for me. Paul says, I'm not scared, because I know that it is just, you know, it is sleeping. For Paul says, it is just a matter of it's sleeping. Because he says, all the dead, they will be raised to eternal life in Christ. But for our purpose this morning from the gospel, there's a group that comes to Jesus in Luke chapter 20. This group is called, they are called the Sadducees. The Sadducees. Who are they anyway? The Sadducees are one of the very strong religious groups in the Jewish religion. They are a very strong religious group. The Sadducees, they don't believe in the resurrection. The Sadducees, they don't believe in angels. They're like a sect. On the other hand, we hear of the Pharisees. The Pharisees believe in the resurrection. The Pharisees believe in angels. So there's a clash between the Pharisees and the Sadducees. So the Sadducees and the Pharisees, always they get Jesus Christ to task. They are very controversial. Many times we encounter them at conflict with Jesus Christ. They just bring questions to try and test him. So in this instance, the Sadducees are coming to Jesus and they are saying, Jesus, tell us about the resurrection. Tell us about the resurrection. I like the way they present the question. Please listen to this. Supposing, they say, a man dies, leaving no children, and his six brothers in turn marry the woman and then die without children. Then the woman dies. Who will be her husband in the resurrection? What we want to highlight is supposing. So for me, this is a hypothetical question. This is a question, it's just a theoretical question. This did not actually happen. It's just a theory. Supposing, let's say if, so you can see that the question is not meant to seek the truth. The question is not meant to seek to search for sincere, you know, opinion, but it is to test. Their question is meant to test Jesus. Nothing of this sort had happened, but they wanted to trap him. This question is being asked to one who is the way, who is the truth, who is the life. They are asking to Jesus, tell us about resurrection. Tell us about life after. Oh my God. They are actually asking this question to the way, the truth, and the life. If this question was being asked maybe to somebody like you and me, I would say, please, I don't know. But they are asking to the truth, the way, and the life. And Jesus answers them in verse 36. Indeed, of course, he says, men and women of this world, they die. But in heaven, there is no death. Because God is God of the living. In godly language, in godly terminology, in heavenly language, there is no death. My friend, there is no death. It is just about life. John 10, verse 10, Jesus says, for I come that you might have life. Not just life, but life in its abundance. So the language in heavenly kingdom, the language in our Christian faith, in our belief, is about life. Death is just a passage. For us, death is a passage. It is the way that we just pass through so that we are raised to new life. Resurrection, according to the Bible, all the four gospel writers, they agree to the fact of the resurrection. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. They give accounts of the resurrection. They tell us about the empty tomb, where the women rushed to the tomb early in the morning. And what did they find when they got there? The tomb was empty. So in that, we have evidence from the Gospels. When we're talking about resurrection, it's not theory, it's not hearsay. We are talking about accounts that are written and presented to us to tell us that even when they went to the tomb in the morning, Jesus was not there. Jesus is risen. Jesus is alive. God of the living. So those who believe in Christ, those who walk with him, those who worship him, those who serve him faithfully, those who are committed to his ways, yes, they love themselves, but they also love others. They love their neighbors. They are of service to the community. They are of service to the world. They are neighbors. They are respectful to others. You know, they have the fruit of the Spirit. Paul says in Galatians chapter 5, for the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, and patience. Those that live according to these characteristics, Paul is saying, even if they die, they will be raised to life. Amen. So death is just, it's a subject. It is just a separation. For me, it's a separation. Where my body has given up, my body is worn out. My body can no longer cope. It has collapsed, but my soul is raised to life. Amen. Please, this is not the conclusive answer. I know you'll go out and search for more answers, for other answers. I'm just suggesting to you that for me, that's how I simply want to understand that. For me, death, I cannot be scared because obviously my body goes, it gets weak. It gets tired. Every one of us, we get tired. Then the body collapses, but the soul is raised to eternal life. So we have at least gospel accounts that present us with Christ who is risen. And when he is raised, he stands before his disciples and he addresses them to say, "Fear not, I am the first and the last, the Alpha and the Omega, and the living one. I was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore." So here, let's separate things here. Let's separate issues. When Christ comes, when Christ appears before his disciples, he is not a ghost. No. He is not a ghost. Ghosts, I don't know what your belief about ghosts is. For some people, talk about ghosts. Oh, you want them to put their blankets on top of themselves, you know, to talk about ghosts. Yet at the same time, I've heard of ghost hunters. I said, are there people who can go about hunting for ghosts? I said, I can't understand this. So let's separate. Christ is saying, I was dead, but now I am alive. He is not a ghost. He is alive. So this is our hope as Christians, according to our faith, according to our doctrine, according to our theology, that those who die in Christ, they will come back to life. Life eternal. I was dead, and behold, I am alive forever. This is our message this day. That even when Jesus is answering the Sadducees, he refers them back to the Old Testament, where he says, look, when Moses was at the burning bush, God speaks to Moses to say, look, Moses, I am the God of Abraham. I am the God of Isaac. I am the God of Jacob. So you can see that everything is in the context of the present. He is not saying, I was the God of Abraham then. Everything is happening in the present. The God of Abraham, who is living now. The God of Isaac, who is living now. So you can see that, even from the Old Testament, God is assuring that he is God of the living. In him, there is no death. Just think of the caterpillar. You know the caterpillar? The caterpillar and the butterfly. You know those, yeah? The cycle. You see, as the caterpillar is to the butterfly, so our present body is to the resurrected body. Just as the caterpillar's body is suited to the realm of the ground, and the butterflies to fly through the air, so our present bodies may be suited to this world of sin, but our resurrected bodies will be suited to the life of the spirit. You know, the caterpillar struggles to understand life beyond, how it feels to be like a butterfly. The caterpillar cannot understand that. So that is the same predicament, you and me. We cannot understand that. I'm not even qualified to talk about this. I said, Lord, I'll try to go and say something to your children this morning, because I'm not even qualified. So as we conclude this subject, the description of heaven or resurrection of life is incomplete, because we cannot explain it in our human words. We are very limited. Concerning the kind of life after death, our Lord himself says very little. Jesus Christ, he says very little about this. So we need not to speculate more than what the Bible teaches. Jesus doesn't go into any details. He leaves that up to his Father in heaven. So, what more can we say? Jesus leaves a lot more details about the resurrection. He leaves it up to his Father. So, what is there for us is to wait for the second coming of the Lord. That when he comes, all the dead will be raised. There will be judgment. But for those who lived faithfully for him, they will be given eternal life as they enjoy in the heavenly kingdom. God bless you all. But what we want to know for sure is God is God of the living. Our jargon, our language, our terminology is about life. We don't talk about death. We talk about life. Now, somebody said to me, sometimes we talk so much about, you know, the negative. And the more we talk about the negative, you know, the more it impacts on us. I would rather talk about, you know, the positive. To talk about life, I would rather speak about life. Because if you speak life, that's what you get. You get life. Oh, death, 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 and you get death. But let's speak life in anticipation for a new life in Christ. Amen.